Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hello everyone, so I'm Justine and we have Dawn with us. We're from VI Talk and we're joined tonight by Lindsay Moore. Hello Lindsay.
Hi.
Hello, Lindsay. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Pleasure.
So would you like to start by just telling us a little bit about your background and, you know, how you came to contact us, if that's okay?
Yeah, well, my name's Lindsay Moore. I was diagnosed over 20 years ago with an eye condition, retinitis pigmentosa, which is obviously more commonly known as RP. For the first sort of 12 years of being diagnosed, I didn't want to admit that I had an eye condition. It wasn't something that I embraced or really could come to terms with. Sort of 12 years after first being diagnosed, I realised that I needed the help of a guide dog, which sort of 14 months later, my first guide dog, Charlotte, came along, a beautiful retriever who absolutely changed my life. She came to live with me on Valentine's Day. And for 6 years,
my birthday.
Good day then. Yeah. And for 6 years, we were just, you know, such a perfect partnership. We went everywhere, did everything together, met famous people, did lots of things. And then on the 16th of January this year, 2 days after her 8th birthday, I had to let her go after a short diagnosis. She had cancer, and as you can imagine, sort of, my world just fell apart. And then sort of lockdown happened, and it's been, you know, it's been really tough without her. I do a lot of sort of fundraising for guide dogs. I got back into singing again when Charlotte came to live with me, and I started out just doing the charity events to raise money and awareness for guide dogs. And off the back of that, people were asking if I'd like sing at a wedding or sing at a party. So I got back into doing sort of the pub circuit again and sort of singing in care homes and parties, etc. So when I lost Charlotte in January, I wanted to sort of fundraise to name a guide dog puppy Charlotte in her memory. So obviously that's been quite hard because I'd loved organising the events and obviously not being able to do anything with the current situation. But we set up like a Just Giving page, and that's been going really well. And I recorded a CD just before lockdown. So, you know, people have sort of been buying copies of that. And yeah, it's been hard without her because she was such a huge personality, and everybody loved Charlotte. Everybody knew her. So I think that's been sort of the toughest thing sort of at the moment since, you know, we went into lockdown, is not only did I feel that when I lost Charlotte, I felt like I'd lost all the independence that I'd got through having a guide dog. That obviously with the, you know, with the sort of the virus and everything, just the smallest of things, like when they said you could do like an hour's exercise a day, I was suddenly having to go back out there with a cane, not with the guys up by my side, and suddenly have to sort of think, well, I've got to social distance, and is there anybody near me? Or it's just been a really, really strange, like it has been for everybody, couple of months. It's been sort of very hard to, you know, to keep going and to keep doing things since I lost her.
It's very difficult, isn't it? It's really, really difficult when you lose a guide dog. I mean, I'm a fifth-time guide dog owner now.
Oh, are you?
Mine's due to retire soon. And it's like, ooh.
I mean, I'm not a guide dog owner, but I'm not going out at the moment. To be fair, I've just moved, so I haven't had mobility training, but I've not been out without anybody because... it's that fear of not knowing, and I absolutely get that, you know, especially with the, and even with a guide dog, they don't know how to social distance with the best will in the world. They're not, you know, they're not trained to social distance, so it's really hard. Absolutely.
So you are you back on the list now waiting for a new guide dog?
Yeah, well, I had one assessment before lockdown, and then obviously there's all the assessments that I need to do all over again. So I'm not on the waiting list as of yet. I'm just kind of waiting for them to be able to come out and assess me. But obviously, you know, restrictions and the guidelines from the government, it's changing sort of weekly, day by day. So I don't know whether they'll be able to come out, you know, next couple of months, or it just depends when it's safe for them to come out, I suppose. So that's been hard. You know, from going from having, because I'm such a dog person, and Charlotte wasn't just my guide dog, she was such a huge character. When I used to go out and sing, she used to like join in. She loved people, she loved all the things that I did. You know, just the smallest of things, like just going out for a coffee or just going to the shops, it was so much more fun when I had her by my side, because you know, she'd make the most mundane things pleasurable.
Bless her.
It's been a real roller coaster since I lost her.
Talking of your singing, Lindsay, how did you kind of get into singing? How did that sort of come about? Because I'm a singer, well, probably not as good as you, but I do sing in a choir mainly, but yeah.
Oh, lovely. I've always loved singing. Ever since, from an early age, I've always really enjoyed singing. And I've sort of been in and out of bands from a sort of like the age of 14. And when I first got diagnosed with my condition over 20 years ago, I needed to do something. I needed to go out and still feel that the eyesight wasn't robbing me of me. So I went out for a lot of years when I first got diagnosed, and my best friend and myself, we'd go out in a taxi, because obviously I couldn't drive, my friend didn't drive at the time. So on weekends, we would spend our weekends sort of going up and down West Yorkshire, and I'd do the gigs and everything. And then obviously after a couple of years, the sight deteriorated, so I lost my way. And then when I got matched with Charlotte, as I said, she came along in February 2014, I was racking my brains to sort of fundraise and to give something back, really. And I thought, well, the only way I know how to sort of just be me is to sing and entertain. And off the back of that, people were asking me if I would sort of sing at a wedding, or you know, they were having a party, would I do the entertainment? And that was great, because it gave me such a confidence boost that people actually wanted to book me, even though I had a guide dog, they still wanted to book me. And it was great, because I joined sort of two local singing groups, and Charlotte used to go along to them on a Tuesday. Sadly, she passed when I joined the other one, but I joined a local group called Her Voice Women's Choir, and we rehearsed in Dewsbury Dance Centre before lockdown. And Charlotte loved it. She'd come, and she was such a part of the sort of team and everything. And we sang at sort of the Run for Joe at Oakwell Hall, and we were at the Huddersfield Food and Drink Festival, and Charlotte would be on the stage, and she just loved it. She just loved all the attention. And she really
typical retriever.
Yeah, absolutely. And she just assumed that everybody was there for her.
Absolutely.
And I think singing was something where it sort of made me forget that I had an eye condition. And you know, when I was singing, there was nobody saying, you know, watch out for that step, or I didn't feel like people were judging, because 9 times out of 10, the audience, if they hadn't seen me arrive with Charlotte, or if they weren't aware that she was, you know, slightly my husband or slightly friends whilst I was singing, people weren't actually aware of my visual impairment till I'd finished that particular spot and I collected Charlotte and she'd sort of work me, you know, around the venue. People had no idea. And I loved it, because people were like, oh my God, you've just been up there singing, and I didn't even know you had a visual impairment.
That's better, isn't it? Is people recognising your voice as opposed to the visual impairment, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it just made me sort of forget for that, period that I was any different to anybody else. And I found sort of since lockdown that sort of singing really does help because, obviously I do all the vocal warm ups now and the breathing techniques, and it's a really good stress release.
Yeah, it is.
And it sort of keeps my brain active, thinking of songs to learn, and it just gives me a bit of a focus.
Hey, what sort of genres do you sing? Like, what sort of, I'm being a singer, I'm really interested.
I sing pretty much everything from sort of show tunes to sort of 50s to up to date.
Wow, cool.
I'm hoping that this period, without being able to do any sort of bookings, that I can just sort of take some time out and try and learn some new songs. The things that I keep thinking, I never got round to learning that song. And I absolutely love it because, I love singing on my own, but I used to love going out sort of twice a week and singing with the other groups and just singing with other people. I think there's something magical when you're in a choir or you're in a group and you're singing with friends, and it's just so lovely to sort of see people's confidence grow week by week, and to be part of sort of a group is really special.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing that I'm missing the most at the moment, is not being able to go out and do the things that I used to do, because before Charlotte came along, I never really got the whole, getting into exercise and sort of being active routine. But since Charlotte was in my life, I took up horse riding, tap dancing and snowboarding and my singing. And I was never sort of at home really. A lot of the time I was always out sort of doing one thing or another. And that's been the hardest thing, because obviously I've lost Charlotte, I've lost being able to go to those places, which I understand with the situation, but all of a sudden overnight everything that I knew had just gone. And it wasn't just about her being my guide, like it was about the companionship of having a dog, and I loved taking her to the country park and sort of letting her have a free run, and then working her back home and just to have that bond. And she was a very special dog.
How can you tell us a little bit about your snowboarding?
I've got a husband that absolutely loves the snow and he loves Canada, and we were on holiday in Canada with one of our friends, and his friend just turned around to me and said, "You'll never be able to snowboard." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you're registered blind." Oh, and that really kind of was like a red rag to a bull. I thought,
good for you.
I might give it a go. And it was just a taster day that British Blind Sports had set up at Snowzone at Castleford. And I went along, I think it was back in 2016, and I had a go, and I loved it, and I got hooked. And then I was having lessons, and Snowzone asked if I'd be the ambassador of Disability Snow Sports, which basically meant I got a lesson, a complimentary lesson once a month, and off the back of it, I sort of put things on social media and got other people into snow sports. Mm-hmm. And I used to attend sort of taster days where people with visual impairments and all kinds of disabilities, could come and try out skiing and snowboarding for the first time. And that was brilliant, because I used to see sort of people coming on these taster days, and then sort of weeks later they'd be out on the slope having lessons. And that was brilliant, because Snowzone have been absolutely amazing. My husband now comes with me as my guide, so I've just started going again since lockdown began. And obviously when Charlotte used to come, they loved it, because she got to hang out in the office and all the staff adored her. And it was a huge honour a couple of years ago to be approached by British Blind Sports and UK Coaching. They asked if we could be one of the participants in a training module that they wanted to use for coaches so that they would know how to teach somebody with a visual impairment. And that was brilliant because we had like a cameraman follow us round at Snow Zone for a day, and they had sort of footage of Charlotte and myself walking into the complex, and I was interviewed, and they took some filming of me on the slope with my instructor. And that was great because, again, if it just helps sort of other people to get into sport and to have a positive experience, you know, we felt really honoured to have participated in that. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that now when my husband and myself go on holiday, like we were in Canada in March, we were actually snowboarding, you know, as a couple. My husband comes as my guide, and I just held onto his little finger, and he sort of, he's not on a snowboard himself when it's just us two. But it's great because I feel that I can sort of be an equal and enjoy the holiday as much as he does. I mean, sadly, we have to come home early because because of the situation, but at least we got to go and spend some time on the mountains. And it was amazing.
Sounds idyllic. Makes you feel free and idyllic.
It does. And it was one of those things that the amount of awareness and, you know, people were sort of chatting to me when we were having lunch and just saying, you know, wow, that's amazing. We've been watching you and, you know, it's great. And because I kind of am probably very critical of myself because I think, well, really, I should be letting go of my husband. But I know I'm safe. It's just obviously other people around me don't always see that I've got a bib that says visually impaired on. And
sure.
It's just I just feel happy in knowing that my husband's there and that I'm holding on to his little finger and I'm safe, he's safe. And I think that's the enjoyment I get. And I do, I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's great exercise. It really is. And, you know, the first time I went, I went back last week and I'd not been on my board for about 6 months. And the first run I did at Snow Zone at Castleford, I thought, oh, I'm not feeling this. But then after I'd done the second run down, I was like, oh, it's like I've never been away. It's like I've never been off my snowboard. Brilliant. Yeah, it's a fabulous feeling.
What about the horse riding?
Well, I absolutely love my horse riding.
I'm very passionate about it as well.
Until next year, because obviously I ride through the Riding Disabled Association, RDA, and I think it'll be next year when they get the green light to have lessons again. But I've just gone back to my tap dancing. I went back to that this week, and
I was going to ask you about
that. A class during the week, but I had a private lesson on Monday just to, you know, keep my hand in, because obviously I didn't want to be in a room full of other people at the moment, with the social distancing and all that sort of thing. So I thought, well, I'll have a few private lessons, learn the routines that they're doing, and then I can go to the class and know what I'm doing, because obviously the teacher would sort of come if I was stuck, and she'd help me and she'd describe the steps. But obviously with the social distancing at the moment, she won't be able to do that. So but yeah, and again, that's brilliant because it keeps my mind active.
How do you sort of manage with tap dancing? Because I love the noise of tap dancing. I love the little clippy clappy, you know, the tap shoes. I think this is such a fantastic noise. And hearing kind of loads of people. I've got no sight at all, so
right, okay.
But yeah, so I just wondered how you kind of manage with that, really, because I've never known anyone that's VI that's done it. So
I'd say I probably have about 25% vision left.
Right.
So
yeah.
once like it's at a new studio where I went on Monday. So okay. Once I know the layout of the studio, and obviously my husband will come in with me, and sure. And then the, you know, the teacher will sort of say where I can sort of change into my tap shoes, and then she's very good at sort of describing where I am, and a lot of it is sort of to do with memory. Once the hardest thing for me was in a class with other people, the teacher would say what the steps were, and then she'd quickly come over and sort of she would describe it to me and tell me what to do on my left foot or my right foot. But then sometimes I might have learnt the steps and put in extra steps. Whereas when I went back on Monday, she could actually tell me, well, you need to hop on your left leg, step back on your right, and we kind of broke it down. So the steps that I was struggling with before, I actually can learn now because she's got more time to talk me through it. And once you know the names of the steps and what to do with your feet, it's quite straightforward, really. It's just knowing what goes in what order, I find, when she puts the routine together. That's the hardest thing, because she'll tell me the steps, and then we'll do a little bit of a routine, and then she keeps adding to it, and then that's where the confusion begins, that when you've got to try and put it all together at the end. But
yeah,
it is good fun. I highly recommend it. And she's a fabulous teacher. She's very, very good and patient with me. Yeah, I mean, that was the thing during lockdown. She did a lot of lessons on Zoom, and I tried a couple of classes, but I couldn't really sort of take part, because obviously they could all see me and I couldn't see them. And because the routine, I could pick up sort of half of it. And then when she tried to put it together, so I tried it, and then some weeks I would sort of turn the camera off on my phone so nobody could see me. And then in the end, I just got a bit frustrated and just thought, well, I'll just wait till I can go back and actually be a physical person.
I do get that, because we did that with Rock Choir, and I've cancelled my subscription, because with you know, some of that is movement, and whereas when I'm in the class, someone next to me will sort of, if you like, manhandle me and show me the positions, and you can see each other, whereas at the moment, you know, he mutes us all and we all have to sing, and it's so I do get that, and it, so I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay for something that, so I do understand that.
I mean, I think it's been fantastic that sort of clubs have kept these things going. I mean, I did the singing group that I go to on a Tuesday. We have sort of Rebecca Roberts that runs it. We sort of filmed ourselves singing the songs that we do at the singing school, and then she sort of put them all together as a video, and that's been lovely, because it's like we're all still singing together. You know, we've done like a few flash mobs, and that's been really good. And that's been nice, because it does make us feel like we are, as I say, all still singing and doing what we love. I mean, hopefully we'll be back to be able to doing it again next year when it's safe.
Oh, let's hope so.
You said that you've made your CD. Is that?
I have, yes, yeah.
Can we get that anywhere, or do you? Can you send
Well, basically, I've called it In Loving Memory of My Girl Charlotte, I've set up a Just Giving page, which is www.justgiving.com/fundraising/name-a-puppy-charlotte, and basically, if anyone, you know, is kind enough to make a donation on there to help me raise the money to name a guide dog puppy Charlotte. I've just sort of been contacting people that have made a donation, just asking them if they'd like a copy of the CD. There's 14 tracks on there, and it's you know, it's doing really well, because everybody loved Charlotte, and everybody knew how much she used to love singing with me. And it's been really nice to do. I mean, I got very emotional when I did the recording. I sort of tried to pick songs that meant quite a lot to Charlotte and me. I mean, her favourite song was when I used to sing My Girl by The Temptations. She'd always bark along. My Girl. And the first time, I lost her in the January, and in the February before lockdown, I sang at a local pub called The Bull's Head in Gummersall, and they've been amazing. They've sort of raised nearly £800 for my Name a Puppy so far. And we were scheduled to do a guide dogs event there, which has obviously had to be postponed. And the first time I sang there after losing Charlotte, I got all the audience in the My Girl song to do Charlotte's barking, so it felt like she was still there. And it was really hard because obviously I didn't know whether I'd be able to get through the gig without crying or breaking down. But
yeah.
And I did it, and I felt really proud. And what people don't realise is that to name a puppy, a guide dog puppy, it's 2,500 just to name the puppy, but I'd like to name and meet the puppy. So that's £5,000 for me to raise over 2 years. I just thought it would be such a fitting tribute for Charlotte because she loved people and she loved my singing and she loved an audience. She was such a diva. We were always out at the theatre and at the arena in Leeds. We actually were so fortunate. We went to see the comedian John Bishop a few years ago, and we were sat on the front row, and at the interval the security guard approached my husband and myself and said, "Oh, can we have a word? Can you follow us, please?"
What's happening?
And we got taken into this holding area, and John Bishop came out and he met us, and he said, "Firstly, you know, thank you ever so much for coming to see my show. And I just wanted to say hello and to meet your beautiful guide dog. And just to apologise, because at the end of my show, I show a video montage of all my family. And I'm really worried that you won't be able to see it. And I'd like to come off stage and to have your permission to come and sit with you in the audience and describe it." And I was like, "Yeah, of course you can." So he came and he sat next to me, and he was telling me all about his family. And that was just amazing. I mean,
he's a nice guy, isn't he?
I'm actually filling up here listening to that. Oh, God.
I have actually booked to see him again in 2022, and I'm hoping I've got a new guide dog by then. So you never know. He might repeat the whole process.
wow. And, bless you.
And, you know, Charlotte and I went to the arena so often, and everybody used to come up to me and say, "Oh, is that the dog that met John Bishop?" And we'd go see other comedians at different venues, and people would be saying, "Oh, there was a guide dog that met John Bishop." And then they'd go, "Calls," and I go, "Charlotte." They go, "Yeah, well, this is Charlotte." And they're like, "Oh, no," they were so happy to see her. And we met the actor, Rhys Dinsdale. We met him 3 times, and he was a huge fan of Charlotte's. And yeah, so she really did sort of just melt people's hearts.
Oh,
yeah. She was a beautiful dog, absolutely.
Her spirit lives on, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It does, it really does. And I think, you know, she set the level very high for a first guide dog. You know, she really has got huge shoes to fill. But they're all different, and they all have their own characters and personalities.
Oh, they certainly do.
yeah,
definitely. Can I just mention as well, I don't know if you are aware, Lindsay, that we do have a The iTalk Facebook page called The iTalk Music.
Music.
The iTalk Music, yeah.
Ah, have a look, thank you.
Yeah, and if you'd wanted to put anything on there, you know, like any music or anything like that, please feel free to do that. That'd be great. We'd love it.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Lynn. That was really good.
Really
your life.
A
very busy
lady. Gosh.
A pleasure. So thank you for having me.
Don't know where you find the time to do everything.
I know.
Thank you.
Please keep us posted on the fundraising and how it's going.
Yeah.
Oh, I will. Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.